Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 358. There's no guest. It's just me. There was supposed to be a guest this week, but we had to reschedule. I'm super excited about that guest. I'm not trying to size it too much because we don't know if it's going to happen, but it was going to happen. Something might happen this week. And if it does happen, I will let you know. And I will let you know by posting the episode with said person that I'm super excited about. And we'll see what happens. But without further ado, it's just me. I'm sitting here in my apartment, on my couch. YouTube is on mute. There's this channel called New Rock Stars where these nerds break down theories on, a lot of theories on the Marvel's MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, and things of that nature. And then this one is about it, one about Inception that's like a, I think it's like a half hour long. I haven't watched this yet. Like Easter eggs and deeper meaning, all this stuff. I haven't watched Inception in a long time. I need to rewatch. A great film. Excuse me. So I'm sitting here. This week has been pretty harrowing so far. My car broke down. I have to get the gear shift component, whatever the fuck, replaced. That's a lot of money. Money that I wasn't expecting to spend. And I was just like, oh my God. Kind of sick over that. But so it goes. Things will work out. It's nothing but money. And so that was Monday. I had to take off Monday. Had to get the car towed and take it to the dealership. And when you take your car to the dealership, prepare to just Vaseline up. And you're gonna get screwed. You're gonna just spend a lot of money, and they won't get it fixed till Wednesday. So I had to take another day, and so I got a rental car. One of the cool things about getting the rental car was the fact that I did at least have a bit of a discount through my insurance. They didn't cover what happened to my car, but I got there's perks or something. Anytime you have to get a rental car, check with your insurance to see if they have a perks program, if there's any like type of discounts you can get. Because if you have Progressive, which I have, there's a thing where you can log on and you can get a little bit of a hookup from Enterprise, at least. That's what I did. So if that's happened to you guys, you know, I'm just paying it forward, passing it along. So I got that. The cool thing, I paid for a full size sedan, and they upgraded me to a Nissan Armada because I guess they didn't have any full size cars left. So I was like, all right, bet. The last time I drove a Nissan Armada was about, oh man, it might have been like over 10 years ago when I believe I was still in school, in grad school, and my parents were getting there. They're getting their truck fixed, their SUV fixed, and they gave them a Nissan Armada, whatever that year was, whatever it was at the time. And they let me drive it, took a girl out on a date, one of my homegirls, and we drove out on the town. Awesome, awesome SUV. I forgot how much I like those, like especially those luxury ones, because for the longest time it was like, yeah, I want a Denali. I don't know too much. I'm not a big car guy, but I like a truck. I like an SUV, but it costs a lot. I had a Ford Explorer, and it did cost a lot to put to put gas in it and stuff like that. But the Ford Explorer that I had that thing. It was used, had it for 8 years, and I didn't really get too much. I didn't get in too much. Didn't have too many problems with it until it was time to trade it in. I had to get like the battery put in it one time, and then the transmission was about to go out before it got inspected, and then like it was just time to take it in. But once I paid for it, once you pay for something or you pay off your car, then that's when it starts to act up. But I had that for a good eight years, I want to say. And then I got the Sonata that got totaled, and now the Ford Fusion. And I, God willing, the next time I get a new car, it's going to be like a brand new one. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking it would just be the shit that I do to it and not somebody else that's probably doesn't give a fuck about it because it's a rental. Because I got mine from Enterprise, and Enterprise, they, you know, they'll sell you the rentals that they fix up a little bit. And when I had that Sonata right before, maybe a few months before it got totaled, had to get a starter thing put on it. And then after that, that shit got totaled, and I just put new tires on it and everything. So it goes. But it's, what is it? It's just money, you know? And you just have to, thankfully I was able to take care of it and all that stuff. So I was kind of bummed out about that, you know, but at least I get to drive around in a Nissan Armada for a couple days and blast my rap music. These days it's more podcasts. The Black Guy Who Tips or fucking Medium Popcorn or one of those NPR Fresh Air bumping Terry Gross in a big ass SUV. I don't know if I had the money, I kind of don't. Because when you're driving into, I'm thinking about as a person that goes into the city a lot, you have to pay more when you have an SUV. When you have a full size, when you have a truck or something, they make you pay more when you have to park in a garage. And I'm not really looking forward to that because I do have an audition tomorrow. I had two auditions, so I might have to park that shit. And whatever, man. Whatever. Anyway, that was on the bright side, two auditions tomorrow, two opportunities to make some money to pay off the bills and shit if booked. What else? To do that and then to top it all off, this is how you know that that goodness in the world exists. I'm gonna say God exists. I know some of you don't believe in God, you're atheist or whatever, and you're going to hell. You're not. But I think one of the that just like it's not all bad. First of all, I have my health and all that stuff, and happy belated Father's Day to everybody. Happy day that people get upset. Like I didn't notice too much of that this past Father's Day. But I know like what I do know is there's a lot of people that don't have their parents around, like they've passed away or they're estranged, but if they're passed away, it's just like, you don't know how good you got it. Like I'm reminded of that every time there's a holiday like that, you always see somebody like, oh, my dad, you know, old picture they throw up on Instagram. Like, wish you were here, dad, and all that stuff. So I'm thankful to have my parents and, that they're around. I gave my parents some money before I think I gave them some cash. And then for Father's Day, I just got them both. Like my dad and I were talking about pizza. And we were talking about like the first time that when I auditioned for grad school, my dad and I went out to Chicago. We flew out. That was the first time I flew on an aeroplane, and I had the audition. And the night before, we ordered Giordano's deep dish pizza. and my dad was saying, and we had a good time. It was just like, had deep dish, real deep dish pizza for the first time. Uno, it is Chicago style, but I would say Giordano's and Lou Malnati's to a certain degree are like staples of Chicago. Yeah, Uno's is too, but I think Giordano's and Lou's do it a little better. Now the flagship store might be a little different. You might even be able to throw in Emmett's in New York City. If you live in New York City, I feel like I've talked about this before. New York City has a pizza spot called Emmett's, and it's in the East. Is that East Village? No, it's in the West Village. It's right near the Comedy Cellar, and it's really good. I tried their thin crust. I didn't care for it too much. It was fine, but it wasn't as good it wasn't as good. So we just happened to be talking about that. And then I just was at work one day, and I was just looking on my phone on my break. And I saw that Giordano's, like, they could ship it. You could get it shipped to your house. You get, like, frozen pizza sent to you and shit. So I ordered them two pies, like a pepperoni, one pepperoni and one sausage. And then he and my mom had that on Father's Day, and they enjoyed that and had some salads with their pizza. And they did that, so I wanted to do that, something nice for both of them. So, yeah, hope everybody had a good Father's Day, because it is a fucking hard day for a lot of people. So happy Father's Day to the single mothers, these niggas that wasn't here. You know, and it's a lot of cats that people that I know. At least one person in particular who remarried and married into married a woman that had a kid already, and he treats him like a son. He calls him his son, and he had another kid with his wife and everything. So I know there's, and he's black. What do you know, folks? A black guy who took on the responsibility of another kid that wasn't his. So it's people out there, man, and salute to all those fathers out there, because I know you don't really get that much credit, or you don't really get anything sometimes, you know. So shout outs to those dads out there. I know I was blessed to have a great one, and it's not, that shit is not lost on me based on the two fucking conversations I had in the past 2 days. So that is not lost on me. Hope it's not lost on you if you're fortunate to have a good father figure in your life. I would be remiss if I didn't say anything about that or acknowledge that. Yeah, so this is how you know that it's not all bad. So this morning, I'm still kind of bummed out. Just like, I wish that I could just be in the world, like working, just at work, as much as I, you know, sometimes you get bummed out about your daily routine. But when it's taken away from you, you realize how important it is and how important it is to have a car and all that shit. So I'm sitting, I was like, okay, let me just play PlayStation. I've been bummed out. I haven't played in a long time. Let me just do that. So I put on Days Gone. And I'm playing for a good hour or so. And I'm getting into this game. Like, I know the critics have shat on this game, and they fucking hate it. There's a guy called that I like called the Gamer 2323. Is his I think that's his YouTube channel, and that's his name. I like that dude. He's a fun, quirky black dude. And he was saying that he might have given it a 7. And I think anything below an 8, like most gamers will say, is trash. And then he actually thought that other game, oh God, I'm going to fuck it up. And it's a game that I had for like a minute and I beat it and I forgot. The Order, that game. He actually liked that one. And I thought it was okay. Like, yeah, it was just okay. Days Gone is growing on me, because I've only played it for a little, maybe an hour. not even that long the first time I played it. And I was like, okay, it's fine. And I'm actually getting into it, learning the controls and getting more comfortable with it. I've still got to get better with the shooting and stuff. But I like it. I like it. I was vibing out with it. If you can find this, if you're bored and you're looking for something to play, I think it might have been $30 or $20. Or it's like some kind of sale that they've got going on. So if you're looking for something to play, it looks great. A lot of people were shitting on the AI and all that stuff. It's fine. I mean, I think a lot of this just, I think you kind of have to know what you're getting into. Now, I haven't played that horde shit where you fight the horde of all these zombies and shit. That's going to be a bitch. I know that's going to be something. But I'm pretty much thinking that this game's going to get pretty repetitive. But I need something to play to tide me over before The Last of Us Part 2 comes out, which doesn't seem like it's going to be out until February of next year. So by my 40th birthday, I hope to be playing that game and enjoying it and all that good stuff. Yeah, I just think we should at least get another trailer or something. We got to get something. Maybe Paris Games Week or something, or PSX. I don't know. One of those gamer conventions. It's not that bad. So I'm playing it for a little over an hour, and I'm having fun. I'm getting used to it. And all of a sudden, my PlayStation's like, please cut off the PlayStation. It's overheating and gives me a warning. I was like, oh, let me just save this, get to this little point. And I'm trying to take out this, like, section of all these, like, pirates or bandits, this bandit section. Trying to, like, got to kill 9 of them. I think I might have killed about 5, and I was, like, fucking people up. And then my PlayStation was just like, it cut off, and it was overheating. And it just got hot. And I was like, oh, shit. And it wouldn't cut back on. So I called GameStop. First off, I look on YouTube and I'm like, with PlayStation overheating, what's the deal? And then see how you can open it up. Dude was telling me how you can open it up and all this shit. And I was like, you know what? I get how you could do that. And I'm pretty sure that I could do that. But I was like, I don't want to mess nothing up. I'll take it somewhere. And I called GameStop, and they told me to take it to this place. They said, this is a place called You Break It, I Fix It. And it's like in a town that's like 20 minutes away from me. And I know exactly where, I know the area where it's at. I was like, okay, I want to do it. We'll see what happens. And normally that service costs like $80. And I was like, okay, I'm already looking at my bank account. I was like, okay, and credit cards and all this shit. I was like, my baby is, I was about to be really sick. I was just like, oh my God, young, like my PlayStation. I just hope that they can fix it. Cause when I looked on YouTube, they're like, oh, you know, it's probably really dusty and you got to clean that out. Once you clean that out, your system will be fine. And I wasn't worried that it wasn't going to work again. It wasn't like the Ring of Death with an Xbox. For you nerds that are familiar with that, it wasn't like that. So I was just like, okay, all right. I'm gonna take it there and see what they say. And I take it there and they say, okay, you know, we're gonna check it out and give us an hour or so. And I go home, I eat some lunch and having some leftover pizza and a salad. Bomb ass. It was good too. Enjoyed that. And I see the email, I call them up. And they said, okay, yeah, we looked at it. It's cool. And I was like, how much is it? Like $79.80 or whatever. I was like, all right. And I was like, okay. It just is what it is, but I have to pay for it. So I get there and I'm ready to, and it's okay. So I just looked at it. And since we just did a diagnosis, you know, we don't have to, you don't owe us anything. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, thank you so much, man. You made my day. And I asked him to look at my iPod because my iPod wasn't working. He says, it's probably just the battery. He kind of cleaned stuff out. And I'm going to see if it takes a full charge here later. And I was just like, oh, man, that made me feel good because I had to take the car to get the car fixed. And when you take a car and they look at it at the dealership, they charge you $139 just to do a diagnostic test. So before they even find out what's going on, you're already down $150 basically. And so I was like thankful about that. I was like, okay. And so I get it home, and now the PlayStation Network's not working. So it's not my internet connection. It's just the PlayStation Network's down. And it's been like that, I guess, maybe all day or sporadically going on and off. So just when I was vibing out to the game and getting into it, it's just like I can't really play it like I want to. But so it goes, man. That's just one of them things. So that's my week so far. But like I said, bright side, get to go to work tomorrow, drive around in the Nissan Armada for a little bit, and a couple auditions. So that's good. What else? Congrats to the Toronto Raptors. I was so glad that they closed it out. They beat the Warriors. One thing that was pretty annoying to me, how people were saying, oh my God, I feel so, like, granted, you don't want to see guys get hurt. You don't want to see, like, okay, I talked about KD last week. Obviously, it's fucking crazy. And it kind of wished that if they would have closed that game out, then Klay wouldn't have got hurt. Now he's out for a year. And so you want to see these guys at their best. Like, so I hate when these dudes get hurt. But they're like, oh my God, that wasn't the same. That was, you know, some people were saying that Toronto should have an asterisk by that victory. I'm like, well, what the fuck? Are you going to say the Warriors should have had that when LeBron didn't have Kyrie or Kevin Love? Like, that's bullshit. Like, where was this when LeBron had to deal with all that? You know, everybody's like, oh, he lost all these times and nah, nah, nah. Always ready to shit on LeBron. But when it happens to these guys, then it's a problem. I just hated that. For people that are supposed to know the game or claim that they know the game, especially some of these basketball people online. And NBA Twitter, I like NBA Twitter a lot. I just some of these statements that people are making on Twitter is just fucking annoying. And it's like, are you aware of history? Like, it just seems like people look at what happened right in front of them and don't take any of the things that happened before. They don't take that into consideration sometimes. It's like Kawhi Leonard won his second NBA Finals and his second MVP. And he beat prime LeBron and quasi-prime Dwayne Wade. You know? I don't know. I don't know about people. And we get the AD trade that finally happened. I even think the homie Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips even mentioned the fact that why didn't they just do this shit in February? You know, they could have did this in February instead of trying to be so cute just because they feel like they would have to give a player what he wanted. And it looks like both teams win. Draft is Thursday. So you got Zion, you got Brandon Ingram, you got Lonzo Ball, and you got that other kid. Who's the other guy? You know who I'm talking about. AD trade. Who's that kid? I don't remember. Who's that other kid? Wild card and bottom line. Ingram, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart. That's it. And they get the number 4 pick. So that'll be interesting. Even though people say it's just a 2-man draft, you got Zion and Ja Morant. I'm sure they can get a guy that's going to be good. And they'll be a nice young team to watch. The Pelicans will be. They'll be a little more well-rounded. And I hope that Anthony Davis stays healthy, LeBron stays healthy. Folks are saying that they're automatically a lock to win. I think it's still going to be pretty open. And I don't know that they're saying the Lakers are going to get Kawhi Leonard. They're going to try for him. Kawhi might be interested. I don't know that he wants to play with LeBron, though. I feel like if he went anywhere, I feel like he would go to the Clippers. but what do I know? I'm just a fucking guy over here. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know what's gonna go on. What else? So excited about that. The trades, we got another couple with the draft is Thursday, and then we got another week. Then when is the free agency? Free agency in about 2 weeks. So we'll see what happens. So it's always exciting to see what happens, who gets traded, if the fucking PlayStation Network ever comes back. I can make the trades and all that stuff and see all the nerds that have updated the rosters and all that good shit. What else? There was another shooter. So yesterday, I think, was the anniversary of that Charleston shooting where that, you know what happened. So, and I read this article about it. That was in GQ. It was really good. Steph Curry is producing a movie called Emmanuel that's like playing one of those Fathom events or something for a couple of days. This is really fucked up. And then it was like on that anniversary, there was a shooter in Dallas who shot at a courthouse, and they got him. They killed him. I think that was a white guy that did that. And that was maybe a year or two early, a couple years ago. That was close by where that black dude that they used that robot and blew him up with. That guy went on a rampage, shot a couple cops, I believe, a year, maybe a couple years earlier. That guy was a whack job. He was a black dude. He got shot. They used a robot. And this dude, they took him out. But the thing about this dude, they showed a picture of this motherfucker. And nobody really talked about it that much. I get most of my news. Like, I watch the news in the morning before I go to work and everything like that. But a lot of news you get on social media. And they showed a picture of this dude. And he looked like he was on some Metal Gear Solid fucking that video game where you upgrade your weapons called The Division. Like, that dude looked like somebody like that. He looked like he was ready for combat, man. And that shit looked scary as fuck. And this photojournalist got the picture. I mean, if you look that shit up, man, that looks intense. So thank God they got him. I don't think anybody got hurt. So that's a good thing. I'm happy about that. And then somebody was trying to shoot people at the Toronto Raptors parade. So thankfully not that many people got hurt from that. Yes, man, people are just fucking crazy. And another thing, I'm happy for Kawhi Leonard because they laughed at him. You know, they made fun of his laugh. He does have a weird, he did have a weird fucking laugh. And that press conference was kind of weird. But like I say, like, he doesn't have to be a fucking coon just for you to like him. He could be a little eccentric, but he just seems like a normal fucking chill dude. So I don't, you know. And he got his last laugh because they did treat him like shit. There was a clip where Michelle Beadle was going off. Oh, he doesn't care about the team. Like, she was talking shit about him and they lit her ass up. But I know why she did. I'm not defending this white woman. Oh, man. I'm not defending her. But I know why she went off. First of all, she's a Spurs fan. And second of all, you know how white people get when these black men don't play and they think all they're supposed to do is play ball, and they thought he was faking his injury. His teammates thought that shit. They talk shit about him. Even woke-ass Pop, you're talking that shit about him. He stayed out. They traded him, thought they was trading him away to a shit team, and he took him to the championship, and they won. So he got the last laugh for that time, and the Spurs are still going to have to rebuild, and nobody's talking about them anymore. So I know Pop is a Hall of Fame guy, but I don't like that shit. I don't like how I just don't like it. I don't need to explain myself any further. The park, one of the Parkland kids was got admitted to Harvard, and then Harvard rescinded his admission because they found out some racist shit that he said in private, and people blew his ass up, and he's supposed to be this conservative dude, Kyle Kashuv. And that sounds like he's Jewish, too. And did he talk shit about Jewish people? I don't know. But he said, he called somebody, he said niggers. He used niggers in some weird, because for the longest time, for most of the day, I was trying to figure out what he said. And I see people saying, oh, you used the N-word. Then I found, it's a Kyle Kashuv reportedly used the N-word in a class document seen by multiple students. The document was shared with HuffPost. Are you Jack fuck my ass now, bitch? Where are you getting the fucking moped and drive, biatch? Nigger, 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 nigger. A lot of niggers. That's how many niggers is this? One nigger, two nigger, three nigger, four nigger, five nigger, six nigger, seven nigger, eight nigger, nine nigger, 10 nigger, 11 niggers. And this one. Some weird ass phrase. He's like, yeah, this guy, yeah, he's a pasty Jew, less than nigger. Well, okay, I think she's that hot. Goes for nigger jocks, come on. Yeah, he doesn't like black people, and he's kind of racist. And then Harvard found out about this shit, and they said, you racist, young. We don't want you to come to our school. He's mad. He's mad about that and complaining about it. And they can decide whether or not they want you to go. If they find out some shit, they can rescind your shit. And yeah, that was funny. You can't be like that, man. You can't, at least on the outside, hide that shit. Damn. People don't know how to hide they sism, you know? I want to try to find, I don't know if she tweets a lot. And this is she's starting to be the homie on here. I gotta find it now though. The homie, Selena Kopic, friend of the podcast. She said, oh, I gotta find it now. Now I gotta find it. I done called her out. Nothing bad. She didn't say nothing bad. She just said something that was pretty apropos. Let me see. Damn. She said something. Okay. Okay, this is what she said. So shout out to, so this is from Selena Kopic. She said, a guy who attended my high school had his acceptance to an Ivy deferred because he wrote a coded message in the high school newspaper. Actions have consequences. White guys, even for you. Occasionally. So she wrote even in all caps. So yeah, I mean, you can't, sometimes when you fuck up, you get caught. And a lot of people that may be racist, that may be attending Harvard, they didn't get caught. So you can't, he said that shit before the shooting happened. And now, you know, and I guess he got his numbers up after the shooting, and he's been, people use him as a symbol for, I guess, his conservatism, him being a conservative. He got like a bunch of followers and all this shit. And yeah, man, go somewhere else. Go to state if they take you. Go somewhere else. You just can't go to Harvard, you know. You know, so it goes, man. I auditioned for an Ivy. I didn't get in, you know. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. I'm not bitter that some people get opportunities just because they went to a certain school and they're not as good. But, you know, so it goes. So it goes. Okay? All right? Get over yourself. Go to another fucking school. Get your shit together. Learn not to be racist, or at least learn how to hide that schism. But now everybody's going to be thinking that's who you are. But somebody will give you a chance, though. What else do I want to talk about? So my weekend was good. Prior to just like being bummed out about, I'll get over it. Just fucking get. I'll get over it. You just feel bad when your car's in the shop or and you're not a baller and you can't just throw money at the problem. Well, kind of still you do it in a certain way. Anyway, my weekend was good. I got off work. Traffic wasn't too bad. And I get home, so I'm kind of like, I don't know, like I'm in the process of just kind of trying to read more plays, read more contemporary stuff, and find out about different roles and really doing research and all this stuff. And I remember finding out about this play called Skeleton Crew. It's a play that came out a couple years ago that was written by Dominique Morisseau, who's from Detroit. And she's a Herald, pretty, I would say she's an award-winning playwright. One of my homies went to see this play. It was in New York for a while, and I just missed it, and I didn't know about it. And my homeboy out in the Bay Area, he went to see it for his birthday, and I was like, "Yeah, is this the play that you saw for your birthday or whatever?" And he was like, you saw it. He's like, yeah, my wife surprised me for my birthday. And I was like, did you like it? He's like, yeah, it was great. I was like, okay. Found out about this play. I was like, yeah, this is a play. I should read this. Maybe there's a part in it for me. So I'm reading everything about it. And I find out that it's playing in Westport, Connecticut. Westport, Connecticut is an hour drive from me. And I was like, fuck it. I was like, yo, I'm going to see a matinee. Tickets are reasonably priced. I'm getting me a ticket, and I'm going up there. And so I do that. I take a nice little trip up there, Westport, Connecticut. I'd done a show there about 2 years ago. I want to say 3 years ago, right before the Super Bowl, actually, with the Cam Newton Super Bowl, where they just fell apart. The carriage turned back into a pumpkin that day, that Super Bowl Sunday for the Panthers. I saw somebody say, now this is, I don't want to get, it was just that person. It was a woman. It was like NFL Live. I don't know her name. She was talking shit about Cam Newton. They had just shown a piece about some, like Cam Newton helped a white family with their house being blown away in a tornado or something, all this great shit that he did. And this white woman's like talking shit about him. And I'm like, do they fucking have an offensive line? Do they call penalties when people try to knock his fucking head off? Like, just talking shit about him. That's the one thing that, like, that's why I'm ride or die for. That's one of the many reasons why I'm ride or die for black quarterbacks. That made me really angry, and I just turned away from that shit. I was like, you don't even know football. And I think it was like Booger McFarlane or something. One of those dudes had to explain to her about what he had to deal with and all this shit. They're not the same team that they were 3 years ago. He needs help, man. If somebody white, a white quarterback was in the same position or as athletic as he was, if Aaron Rodgers didn't have a good defense around him and mediocre wide receivers, nobody would say shit about it. They would say, he needs help. He needs more weapons around him. I mean, he just needs more weapons. They wouldn't say that about him. But, you know, this is the world we live in. And that's one reason why if you tell me that I can go see a movie in Montclair for the art house movie that I want to see and not watch fucking football on a Sunday, I probably wouldn't. Or if I can go see a play or some shit, I would do it. I wouldn't think twice about staying at home to watch the fucking NFL. But I might get Madden, the new Madden, because Patrick Mahomes is on the cover. See how contradictory I am? Okay, so now this is a thing. This is another thing. I think I'm on. So I go to Connecticut. And so the time that I was up there for Super Bowl Sunday, I didn't get to see the town. It's supposed to be like a super wealthy part of Connecticut, and it's really nice. So when I was up there 3 years ago, it was really dark. I couldn't really see anything, but I did a spot. I did a show at the Westport Inn, which is like a nice little hotel, and they got like a nice little restaurant in there. And a little, the basement area was where I guess they have like banquets and you can rent stuff out. And I did a show down there, a really nice little comedy club or whatever. And so I didn't really get to see how pretty everything was. But on my drive up there, oh, my God, beautiful little town. And the Westport, it was at the Westport Country Playhouse. And the playhouse looks like this barn, and it's really like quaint. And the theater's fucking beautiful, where it's like, it's this beautiful theater. And the seats, at least at the bottom, at least on like in the orchestra and, you know, on the, you know, the ground floor area, they look like church pews. They're basically church pews with seats, like where individual seats in there. And it was really nice. It was enough room for a big ass dude like me. Very comfortable. I sat in the front, like front row stage right. It was so good. It was a great show. I'm not gonna be a dick. I really dug the show. I loved it. Shout out Sean Nelson, who played the little kid in Fresh, the lead in Fresh. He's my age now. He's like 39, and he was also in The Wood. And he was in it. He played, he was really good. He played like the manager and all that stuff. And there's another young black actor in it. Well, younger than him, I believe. And it was a four person show. A lot like the, nobody's going to know this, but a lot like the show that I saw last year at the Williamstown Theater Festival, Artney Jackson, which was a workplace drama. And it was about four or five people in the show, and everything took place in the break room, just like this one took place in a factory, set in 2008 during the recession and everything, and like the shops are, everything's closing down, and talked about it. Really fucking good, and it's playing till the end of this week. So if you happen to live in the tri-state area and you're looking for something to do, go to the Westport Country Playhouse. Let me make sure that I've said that right. Yeah, I think I have. The Westport Country Playhouse. And it's playing till the 22nd. It opened June 4th. So they did in the Heights earlier. June 4th through the 22nd. So Saturday would be the last show. So if you get when this goes up, if you're looking for something to do and you live in this general tri-state area, definitely go see it. It's a great show, great acting, very compelling. It just got my juices flowing again, man, wanting to do that live theater, man. It's nothing like it. It's nothing like live performance, like theater, stand-up, dance, you know, concerts and all that shit. It's the best, man. There's nothing like it. And I can't wait to go back to this place. So I'm going to have to figure out. Before the end of the year, I'm going to see something else up there. It's so nice. And it's just like, you know, you don't have to pay those Broadway prices. You don't have to pay to park. Really nice. Really. And I'm sure there's a bunch of places you can eat around there. Just beautiful, just like really beautiful on a nice summer afternoon, just to go up there and do stuff, like just to get to see a play. I mean, I try to do as much of it as I can, especially in the summer, just to have like one of those, just a nice little excursion. Try to do it as much as I can, much as my bank account allows. But Skeleton Crew, really fucking great. I'll tell you about some music, and I'll do some TV stuff, and then we'll get the fuck out of here, guys. Muzak, Aaron Allen Kane, has a new album out called A Tree Planted by Water. It's only, like, they call it an album. It's only 18 minutes long. Came out last week. She's just like a good, just a good black girl. I don't know if she's mixed. I'm just going to call her black. And she's really good. I just say that because, like, she's an American girl, I want to say. I hope I'm right about this. She was born in Detroit, Michigan. There we go. Because you get all these, like, these young soul singers, whether they're biracial, whether they're just black or whatever, they just kind of remind me of that Gugu Mbatha Raw character in Beyond the Lights, underrated movie. A little weird when you see that other guy in it that got in trouble for some sex stuff. But a good movie nonetheless. Oh, man. But it's just like all these girls are like that. Like, oh, she's black, and then she starts singing, and you hear her accent in when she's saying one of the lyrics. And you're like, ah, you know. I don't feel bad about it, but it's just like I know there's a lot of black American black women that are out here that can sing their ass off. So it's good that she's one of them, and she's good. I've talked about her before, but she's got a new project out. There's these cats. Van Hunt, I think he posted something about it. They're called, let me make sure. It's called Bathe or Bath. Let me see. Where the hell? Oh, no. Yeah, B-A-T-H-E. And these guys, they have an EP out. No, they call this an album. Well, Tidal calls this an album. It's called I'll Miss You. And it's 7 tracks, and it's 16 minutes long. These two dudes, I believe they are from Brooklyn. Let's see. B-A-T-H-E. Let me just make sure. Yeah, it just looked like these guys. I was trying to find something that's like, that gives me anything. Duo Bathe makes a strong introduction with debut EP, Soul Bounce. Let's see if they got something on these guys. I feel like they're Brooklyn based. I just started following them on Instagram. Singer-songwriter Dev Hody and producer Corey Smith West deliver a rich first outing, perfect for increasingly sun-drenched days ahead. Billed as surf R&B, the Brooklyn-based duo's sound has already drawn comparisons to Frank Ocean, Jai Paul, and Blood Orange. In short, it's literally a whole mood. Yeah, so they're, okay. Yeah, these dudes are good. So it's called, it's B-A-T-H-E. That's the name of the group. And the name of the EP is called I'll Miss You. Check it out. It's really smooth. It's I dig it. I recommend those two. Also, Gold Link has an album called Diaspora. And the homie Mike Brown put me on to him a couple years ago. And they kind of gave me that... he kind of gave me this vibe. At least his earlier stuff gave me a vibe, put me in the mind of the Jaspex, like how it's like really super eclectic type stuff. And yeah, so that's good. I listened to those. I'm you know, thanks to Tidal, I'm finding out about, I'm giving some of these young folks a try. How about that? So I'm not just the old guy that's like, well, I just think that all the music back in 96 was good. Nothing else was after that was any good to me. What the fuck is that voice? That's like a weird, squeaky Jimmy Stewart. Let's give you some music. TV stuff. I watched Dead to Me, the Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini show. Really dug it. Really enjoyed that. A lot of people were raving over it. This, again, was like white Twitter and black Twitter, woke black Twitter was vibing out to it and liked it. And I was like, okay, let me check this out. And I was like, yeah, damn. I watched the first episode and I was like, holy shit. So that was really good. I enjoyed that. I watched Luther. So then I think they're only doing four of them. Cause I was gonna save it and then binge it all, but I ended up watching the first three installments of it, and it's good. It's just like Idris doing his thing. It's solid. I enjoyed that. What else? Euphoria. This is the show that everybody's been like. This is Zendaya's coming out party, basically. I did not know much about her Nickelodeon years, but she kind of really blew me away with Spider-Man Homecoming. That performance in that movie, she was just so funny. It's like, you guys are losers. I was just rewatching it a couple nights ago, and she was just so funny, so good, so natural. And with this Euphoria, wow. Like, she had to, it was so intense that she had to, like, post on Twitter and Instagram. She's like, hey, this might not be for everybody. I know if you're a fan of me, you know, give it a try. If it's not for you, then so it goes. But this is what it is right now. So she plays a drug addict, trying to recover from having an overdose and trying to get back to her life, but she's still doing drugs. She's makes a lot of mistakes. She narrates the whole show. It kind of has the vibe of, I've only seen the first episode, but what I've been reading, it's kind of like going to be like Skins, how even though Zendaya's character Rue is the narrator, you're going to find out about these other characters, the other main characters, after, like when they're a kid, and then based on what they are, starts out when they're a kid and then how they are now and why they are the way that they are as the story's unfolding. So it's kind of got that set up. But at the same time, like, you don't know, like, she even says that she may not be the most reliable narrator and blase skip, but, she's really good in this. And it's not a surprise to me, just even after, I mean, I know when somebody can act, but like, this is something that's like, she's like, here I am, motherfuckers, and I'm shedding that Disney Nickelodeon skin or this young teen actor thing. She's really putting it down, and just very natural. What's this girl from? Oh my God. Storm Reed. But what was she on that show that me and Aaron Hunley reviewed? Aaron loved it. And I think I was kind of like, A Wrinkle in Time. Like, I get what this does. Like, I understand what that does for young black girls. And I know why Aaron liked it. And I like that aspect of it. But overall, it's like, But she's very good. And, yeah, like, even shout out to Ray Sani. Ray Sani tweeted about how pretty this girl is and how striking she is. And she's another one. Everybody was saying how I read that Ray said it first. I think Ray said something like perfect casting, like to pair the two of them up, Zendaya and Storm as sisters. And then I read where other people were saying that shit too. But it looks like her character's really, really interesting, and like something's going on with her. Like, just very, everybody seems like, just this pilot, the way they set it up, it looks really good. And I'm excited to see how it unfolds. I think there's eight of them. So maybe there's like seven more episodes. I'm enjoying it so far. But like, one thing, like, I don't know, when stuff is kind of explicit and very sexual, there's one scene that's like where you see a character, you're just like, whoa, I didn't know she had titties like that. And you see people with, there's a couple of new scenes that's like, wow. And then they show a lot of penises. I did notice, like, they're like, there's 31 penises in the first. I was like, really? And then so it had me, I wouldn't say that I was disappointed. I didn't see 31 of them. I don't know if it was overblown. Not that I was looking for them, but it kind of made me disappointed that there weren't a lot of dicks in that first. In that pilot, where I was just like, okay, are you guys just sensationalizing this just to get people to I don't know, what do you want to do? Like, to get people to protest, to get to weird people out, or turn people away, or be, I don't know. It's like, I didn't know. And there's a character that you see his penis, it's just like, okay, you know. But, it, you know, you show people's head get blown off. There's certain sexual situations where you see, like, yeah, they're doing it, bro. But then there's other times where it's like, this isn't right. And I saw that twice on this show. And the show made it clear that, hey, this shit is fucked up. This is something that you don't do. This shouldn't be done. And one of them gets corrected. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's very blatant how it is and how you would like certain situations to go if you were, I don't know. I like the fact that it's in there. So I don't think this show is being negligent of that. You know what I mean? I don't think the show is being like reckless, basically. Yeah, that's what I want to say. But it looks, so far so good. It looks pretty interesting to me. What else? I'll give you two. So I recommend Dead to Me. I recommend Luther. I recommend Euphoria. I'll give you a couple movie reviews. Thursday night, I went to see Shaft. At first, I thought this was going to be, you know, I love going to the movies, and I was like, it's like, all right, Shaft. I wasn't really trying to see Men in Black like that. I know, shout out to Tessa. What I really want to see from Tessa is that that art house movie that stayed in the theater for like a week. I'll give you the name of it, because I will talk about it when I see it. So it'll probably be on demand soon. Where the heck is it? Where is it? Let me go to IMDb. Because I hate when I can't give. Little Woods came out. It says 2018, but it got released this year. And so that's the next thing that I want to see from her that I'm excited to see, actually. So I went to see Shaft, and at first I thought this was going to be like a chore, because it's like, you know, I want to support black people and all that stuff, black actors. So I was like, let me see what's up. I was pleasantly fucking surprised by this shit. I'll read you the blurb. John Shaft Jr. may be an FBI cybersecurity expert, but to uncover the truth behind his best friend's untimely death, he needs an education that only his dad can provide. Absent throughout his childhood, the legendary John Shaft agrees to help his son navigate the heroin-infested underbelly of Harlem, New York. Besides the locked and loaded, Shaft has his own score to settle, both professional and personal. This was directed by Tim Story. And I think Tim Story directed. Did he direct Save the Last Dance? I don't know if he did. Now, if he didn't, I'm going to have to find out who did. And he didn't. Wait a minute. Let me see. He did not. Why did I think he did? He directed both ride-alongs. But now I'm going on to another rabbit hole. I want to find out who directed Save the Last Dance. That the guys from Medium Popcorn shitted on. Really disappointed in them. Thomas Carter. And I should have mentioned that when I did their show 2 weeks ago. Okay, he did not do. He directed Gifted Hands. Okay, he directed Swing Kids, When the Game Stands Tall. He did Coach Carter. Anyway, okay, so Shaft, it was funny. It was funny. I was entertained throughout the whole movie. I think it was like 2 hours. It didn't really feel like 2 hours. I just had a really good time watching this fucking thing. Very pleasant. Sam Jackson was cracking a lot of jokes. 34% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know why it did so bad. Alexandra Shipp was very lovely in it. Regina Hall, also lovely. Jesse Usher from Survivor's Remorse, he was funny. Yeah, man, it was just a really enjoyable flick. I told one of my coworkers, I was like, hey, if you and your husband saw it, you went out to a matinee or something, y'all would have a good time. It was black people in there. It was like, the crowd got bigger than I thought it was that night, because it was like a 6 o'clock screening. And the one black woman just couldn't stop laughing. At first I was like, okay, she's just sicing it. She was going on the edge of being like entertaining, but then low key annoying. But it was on the edge of being more just like, this made me enjoy the film more. Like, it was a lot of black, it ended up being quite a few black people there. And we were just, at the end of it, we just had a good time laughing. And it's a fun movie. Like, it's entertaining. Like, if you want to see something, if you're not into seeing Toy Story this week and you just want to see some like grown up shit, go see Shaft. And if The Last Black Man in San Francisco, I said it last week. You're going to hear it later on in the year from the people. You might hear it later on this month or coming into during award season. The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Remember, you heard that shit here first. It's one of the best movies of 2019. And you're going to have all these fucking tastemakers and cool hip people tell you this after the fact. You heard it here first. It's one of the best movies of the year. If it opens in wider release, I'm definitely getting on Blu-ray. But if I can see it again in the theater, I definitely want to do that. Even if I have to not do it through AMC again. But I would love to see it again, you know, and not have to pay for a shit ton for parking. But Shaft was very enjoyable. I'm going to see Toy Story 4 this week. I saw Toy Story 3. I hadn't seen it. I saw that like last week, I think. And then I liked it. It was really good. So I'm caught up now. And I can see what's good with this part 4. Supposed to be a tearjerker. It's what they're saying. So that was good. And then the next movie I saw was this film called A Vigilante. Starring Olivia Wilde. And this is basically, I'll read you the blurb. A vigilante helps victims of domestic violence by acting with merciless severity against the perpetrators. The battle-hardened woman never loses sight of her own mission. So I like this. I mean, this is not a movie. This is a movie, if it comes on, like, I paid to see this. Like, I rented it. I rented this on demand. It's a great performance from Olivia Wilde. If you just want to see a woman kicking ass, it's good, but it's like gritty. It's gritty independent. It's like it's a tour de force from her. She's doing her thing. She's getting busy. There's a nice little swerve towards the end. It's fine. I don't think it's something that you have to rush to see. If you waited till this maybe came out on Hulu or something, it would be like, I think you would be satisfied. But I don't want to say that you have to go see this. You have to rent this right away and pay $6 or $7 and then kind of be disappointed. Because this was just on the edge of like being like, okay, I dropped this money on this movie when maybe in another month or two would be like for free on Netflix or Hulu or Prime or something. Because I've kind of been burned by quite a few of these art, these like indies where it's just like, that's it. So I don't want to give you the full recommendation. I would say this is a B. If you want to see, if you like Olivia Wilde and she carries this film and it's pretty badass. I would say, instead of this one, the more interesting film to check out would be Meadowland that she was in. And I want to see when that came out. Meadowland. Meadowland. Is that the right? Is it Meadowlands movie? M-O-V-I-E. Meadowland movie. Yeah, see, like, you can get this one for $3 on Amazon Prime. You can get it for... All of these places are pretty much $3 with the exception of on iTunes. And they say iTunes doesn't exist anymore, but I still have it. Meadowlands got a 96%. A Vigilante is 91. So, I mean, if you, you know what? If you're a white woman and you live... If you're a white woman and you listen to this podcast and you like Olivia Wilde, you want to see her fuck shit up, hey, man, make it a double feature. But this film came out. I just say I like Meadowland better. 1 year after the abduction of their son, a policeman played by Luke Wilson and his wife, Olivia Wilde, continue to fall into a vortex of guilt and despair. I like this one a little better. Two different movies. Olivia Wilde does her thing, you know, so it's worth seeing, but I just don't want you to be like this movie. Meadowland came out in 2015. I just don't want you to be disappointed or burned out or just like feel like you're burned by one of these. So I think that's it for me, folks. I gave you a couple movie reviews. I shot the shit with you, gave you some music to listen to. Talked about some TV shows, and hopefully the rest of your week has been financially better than mine. Hope you are. This podcast finds you safe and happy in a nice, cool place, depending on the weather and wherever you live. But since it's the summertime, I hope it's cool for you. And I will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody.